get to talk to God all the time. That's what prayer is all about. But can you imagine seeing his face and walking with him hand in hand through the garden? It's so incredible. I want that. One day in heaven, God, sign me up. I'm there. I want to walk with him, holding his hand. And he said, there's only one tree that you can't eat. And this is where the good story gets a little depressing. There was an enemy out there, and he didn't want that beautiful world to stay beautiful. And so he was going to mess things up. He was going to cause problems. He was going to sow discord. And so Satan turned himself into a snake, and he began moving through that garden. And one day he talked to Eve, and he said, oh, Eve, you need to try that tree. God said don't touch it. I know he did. But he just doesn't want you to be like him. He just doesn't want you to be smart. He doesn't want you to be like God. And for the first time, sin entered into the world. Can you guys say, that's not good? No, that's not good. And from then on, things have gone downhill ever since. Eve ate the fruit. She gave it to Adam. He ate the fruit. They got kicked out of the garden. Thorns started growing up. The lions that used to lay down with the lambs, now they're eating the lambs. Things got bad. Disease entered the world. In the garden, there was no disease. There was no COVID. It didn't exist. It couldn't exist. But all of a sudden, disease could happen. Things could happen. And we are doomed forever. Can you say, oh no? No, it's not. We're not doomed forever. I was joking. Because God, out of every situation, no matter how scary it looks, God always makes a way. Always makes a way. God has a plan. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how scary it looks outside. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what the CDC says. God has a way out. He's protecting his church. And all we got to do is trust him. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. If you're online, I'm not talking about that. But keep attending church in whatever form that is. You got to keep in tune with God. And if you do that, things will always be wonderful. I don't care what you're going through. You can still have a wonderful life. I don't care how crazy it is out there. But we are going to, talk about that plan that God made. God made a plan so we could be saved. Now, I need you guys to help me here. We're going to say something together. We're going to say, God has made a way for me to be saved. Even through all that, even through the craziness, God has made a way for me to be saved. So let's just say the first part. I'm going to say, God has made a way, and you repeat it. Ready? God has made a way for me to be saved. Now we're going to say it all together. Everybody, you ready? You're going to say it with me. Here we go. Ready? God has made a way for me to be saved. Now don't forget that, because we're going to say it a lot. We're going to say that probably 10 times a day, okay? Let's try it one more time. God has made a way for me to be saved. God made a way. And the first part of that is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Any Bible quizzes remember this one? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You got to start with faith. And the Bible says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You got to believe there is a God. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to believe. But some people stop there and they say, all you got to do is believe and you're saved. Well, James says, thou believest that there is one God? Good job. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Does that mean the devils are going to heaven? No. You can't just believe. You got to take action. Imagine someone running in those back doors and saying, guys, the church is on fire. And some of you sit there and say, I believe that. I believe that. And this place burns down and you go with it. That's wonderful that you believed it and you died believing it. But you got to put action with your belief. So the Bible says, yes, you got to believe, but there's more to it than that. So the first thing you got to do is believe. Say believe. That's right. God's made a way for me to be saved, and the first thing is believe. And I need someone here. I need someone to help me. I need a volunteer. A volunteer that's not afraid to come up and stand not awkwardly close, but you're on the front row. Come on up, bud. All right. What's your name, bud? Lucas. Everybody give Lucas a hand. All right, Lucas. We got two bottles here. Pick one of the two bottles. That one? Okay. I'll use this one. You got three balloons here. You pick one for you, one for me. You got that one? Which one am I using? Perfect. Okay. Now, we're going to have a race. And this isn't part of the race, but you're going to take the balloon and stuff it inside and hold on to the top. And if you need help, this is a little tough, you're going to stretch it right over the top, just like that. I'm a little out of shape. All right. Okay. I'll help you. Oh, we ripped it. It's all right. We got another one. Awkward silence. It's okay. All right. Okay, perfect. Now, we're going to have you guys, if you guys could help me, from like half of this section to here, you guys are my cheering section. Let's have you guys practice. One, two, three. All right. Half of this section and this one, you guys are cheering for Lucas. One, two, three. I'm in trouble. All right. All right, Lucas, you ready for this? What we're going to do is we're going to have a balloon blowing up contest. Go ahead and pick up your bottle. We're going to blow up this balloon as big as we can inside this bottle. Whoever gets it to fill this thing the fastest wins. You guys ready? When I say go, start cheering. One, two, three, go! Okay, it's okay. We didn't explain the rules. What you want to do is blow up the balloon. Okay. Now that it's clear, we're going to blow this up again. Okay, Lucas, ready? One, two, three, cheer! Lucas, yeah, it's... Maybe your balloon's defective. You already messed up one. No, I'm kidding. I did that. Wait a second here. Lucas, yours won't blow up, and mine won't stop blowing up. And the top's open. Okay, we got something really weird happening here. Lucas, can you hold your bottle up and show everybody? Do you guys see these bottles? We're going to find out who's a scientist in the room, all right? Does anybody know what is in Lucas's bottle before he blows up the balloon? Anybody know? What? Who said air? If you did, you're a scientist. Congratulations! We have a bunch of scientists. That's right. He's got air in his bottle. And as much as I hate to say it, Lucas, you will never blow up that balloon until you get that air out. Just the way it is. I'm a scientist. I know. I'm not a scientist, but I can fake it. Okay, so, but it's full of air, and you got to get it out. And I got to admit something. Not proud of this, but Lucas, I didn't play fair. I did not play fair because my bottle has something that yours does not. It has a tiny hole in the side. Do you guys see that tiny little hole? That doesn't look that big, does it? Just a tiny, tiny little hole. You know, this reminds me of something. Have you ever seen someone trying to get the Holy Ghost and they just can't get it? Did you know your heart's full of something before you try to put something else in it? You know, if your heart's full of sin, do you think God's going to want to move in there? No, there's something in the Bible, Lucas, called repentance. Can you guys say repentance? That's right. You got to repent and let all of that out before Jesus will come in. That's just the way it works. But how did mine stay? I had my finger over the hole the whole time. And that's sometimes, I've seen people do that. They come on a Sunday night, the power of God's in this place, and they get full of the Holy Ghost, and they're all pumped up, and Monday morning, they start going back to normal. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. That's not a good cycle. You can't come and get full of the Holy Ghost and let it out and let it fill up and let it out. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You got to keep your finger over that hole and not let the Holy Ghost get out. You can't let that sin in your life every day. You got to protect yourself. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to attend church. You got to do the things God wants you to do. That's right. And if you do that, everything's going to be okay. Lucas, you did a great job. You can pick any one of those three. Just don't eat it in church, all right? Everybody give Lucas a hand. He did a great job. So there's two things we have to do. We have to believe and we have to repent. My brother bought a house a while back, and that house was completely full of trash. It was owned by some druggies, and they had filled the house with trash. It was disgusting. It was about a foot deep in that house. And so, of course, my brother put his furniture right on top of the trash and moved right in, right? No, that would be disgusting. He spent a lot of time digging that junk out, filling dump trucks after dump truck, and he finally got it cleaned out, and then he was able to move in. That's the same way with Jesus. He wants in worse than you want him in, but you got to clear a space for him to come in. And that's repentance. It's telling God, I'm sorry, Jesus, for the things I've done. And if you mean it and you try to turn from those things, it doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake again. It just means that, God, I'm trying. And he's not going to second guess it. He's not going to say, well, you failed before. I don't know if I trust you this time. He will always forgive you. He is gracious. If you approach that throne of grace, he is gracious to forgive our sin. That's how my God is. Can you guys say amen? Amen. Now, remember that phrase? We're going to say it again. God's made a way for me to be saved. Here we go. Let's say it together. God has made a way for me to be saved. So we have to believe and we have to repent, but there's something else you got to do. If you stop there, you stopped halfway through the process. But I brought a friend with me to teach this next one. His name is Hank. Good guy, buddy Hank. If you're here, if you could just come on up, Brother Hank. Brother Hank. Brother Hank. Have you seen Hank? Have you seen, excuse me, buddy, we're trying to teach here. No, you're blowing your nose on Hank. Ah, you put Rona all over Hank. Oh, thank you for bringing Hank to me. Well, my buddy Hank here. All right, he is nice and clean, or he was, before. But we're going to talk about him because this is how we all start out. We're innocent. We're white. We're clean. Our hearts are just like this, right? Everything's all cleaned up just like that. And Jesus would love us to stay like that, right? Of course he would. But he also knows that we've all come short of the glory of God. Has anyone ever made a mistake? You don't even have to raise your hand. We know the Bible says we've all made a mistake. I know I've made more mistakes than I'm proud of. But my buddy Hank here, he started off nice, and he wanted to keep his heart right. But he was a human, just like all of us, and he made a mistake. One day, sin entered his life for the first time. My buddy Hank, he had a fight with his sister. And that's not a sin necessarily. We all argue, right? We all had an argument with our siblings. That's normal. That's called life. But when you take it too far, sometimes it can get out of hand. And this day it got out of hand. My buddy Hank, well, he started using language he never should have used. Can you guys say, oh, no? Oh, he did, though. He used language he never should have said. And he regretted it, but oh, it got him. But he didn't stop there. He was so mad. And sometimes your anger can get out of control. Sometimes if you let it go, it'll take over. Well, that happened that day, and he got so mad, he was just looking for some way of getting back. So he picked up his favorite toy, and he threw it at his sister as hard as he could, and he wasn't trying to scare her. He was trying to hit her. Can you guys say, oh, no! That's not good. Don't do that. That's not, no, don't do that. But he did, and then his anger got out of control. And sin entered his life. Well, his parents weren't home at the time, but when they came home, they found out where that car had ended up. Because it missed his sister, but it sure didn't miss that plate glass window in the living room. Went right through and smashed it in a million pieces. And his parents came home, and the first question they asked is, Hank, what happened to the window? You know what Hank said? I did it. No, he didn't say that. He said, a bird, Dad. A giant bird. Dad, I was in the front yard. I'm telling you, Dad, I tried to stop it. I did. I flagged it down. I was saying, bird, please don't. And that bird flew on. Right, sister? Right? And he made his sister lie. And pretty soon, Hank started looking like a cow, a nasty old cow. That's right. Hank didn't look like he used to look. He was pretty messed up. And one sin leads to another and to another. And pretty soon he started hanging out with the wrong guys. Hanging out with the wrong people ain't going to make anything any better. You make each other worse. Started hanging out with his friends and doing the wrong things. And when you hang out with the wrong guys, you don't make each other better. Ooh. You end up making each other a whole lot worse. Can you say, no, Hank? Yep, that's what happened. Poor Hank messed up. Oh, my goodness. Can you guys see this? Hank was in bad shape. And that's how we can get. That's how our lives will start to look if we're not careful. If we're not careful, sin will take over, and pretty soon we don't look anything like we used to. Well, he began to grow, and he began to move up through his years, and things didn't get any better until finally he realized that, you know what, I need to make some changes. Has anyone ever came to that point where you say, I got to make some changes? My life's out of control. And so Hank said, I'm going to do this, but he thought he was going to do it himself. He said, I'm going to think really good thoughts. I'm going to do good things for people. I'm going to help people across the street. I'm going to mow people's lawn and charge them nothing because that's going to save me. And do you think that made Hank look any better? Made him feel better for a little bit, but it sure didn't clean him up, did it? I don't care how many good things you do. I don't care what causes you support. And I'm not talking bad about joining a cause. I'm talking about getting your heart right. There's only one way you'll ever get your heart right. We already talked about repentance, right? One day he said, I can't do this on my own. He began to pray and say, Jesus, I don't even know how to do this, but I need help. I need help. And a knock came on his door. Has anyone ever had that knock in your life, whether it was physically on your door or someone just talked to you? And they said, hey, Hank, I got some answers for you. There's a God that loves you. And there's a God that can heal you. And there's a God that can fix you. And so Hank, for the first time, went to an apostolic church. He went to a Pentecostal church where he heard about a man named Jesus. He heard about someone that loved him more than anybody else. And he learned that you can repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. And for the first time, he did that and said, God, I'm sorry. And that night, he was washed in the beautiful name of Jesus. Every last thing he had ever done was washed away by the power of Jesus. When you're baptized in Jesus' name, I don't care how bad you were, you are clean. Can you guys say amen? Amen. You're washed by the blood of Jesus. He takes away every stain. He takes away everything you've ever done. That's beautiful. But its story's not even over. Hank was so excited, he went back to his mom and his dad and his friends and said, you got to hear about my God. You got to hear about the change. And he began to talk to them. And one by one, he began to be a witness. And soon, they too were changed by the power of God. And that can happen for you today. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, today's the day. If you've never repented of your sins, today's the time. Any bad thing you've ever done can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, I don't care what you've done, how big they are, how small they are. I don't care if you're 4 years old and you really haven't done a whole lot of bad things. God can take it away like that. If you've done a lot of things that you're not proud of, that you're ashamed of, God can take it away in a blink of an eye. You get baptized in Jesus' name and every stain is washed away by the blood of Jesus. So, you have to believe. You have to repent. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. You can't be baptized any other way. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. But there's one more step. You guys know what that is, of course. We're going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. Before I do, I'm going to tell you a story, a quick one, about a man named Moses. Moses was called the meekest man in the whole earth. But this dude was not a sissy. He was bad to the bone. I mean, he led several million people of Israel, and you got to be a tough guy to do that. Well, one day, God came to him and said, Moses, I want to talk to the children of Israel. I need you to gather them around the mount called Mount Sinai. And so he did. He gathered those people around the base of that mountain. And he said, God is going to talk to us from the top of the mount. So the people gathered around. They were ready. And when God began to speak, it was like thunder and lightning and fire and hail. And they got scared. Those people were at the base of the mountain, and guess what they did? They ran away screaming. Ah! They went back to their house and said, Moses, we can't handle a God like that. He's too powerful. And you know what Moses did? Do you think Moses ran away with them? No. Moses went straight to the top. Have you guys ever seen those crazy people called storm chasers? When there's tornadoes, people are running from it. I would be running from it. Those nuts are running into the middle of it because they want to say, wow, this is cool. Let's see what it's all about. Well, Moses was like a Holy Ghost storm chaser. And that's how we need to be. When you see something happening in the Holy Ghost, it's not time to run from it. When you start seeing the Holy Ghost getting poured out, people healed, people dancing in the Spirit, you don't stand back and say, ooh, I don't know if I'm afraid of a God like that. You need to be like Moses and say, Jesus, I want a part of it. I don't want to just be watching from the outside. I want to be in the middle of it. You know, there's some things that your pastor is meant to give you from God. Your pastor is your oracle. He is the man that is giving you God's word. But there's some things you need to get straight from God. There's some things your pastor can't put in you. There's some things in a prayer room you got to get for yourself. You got to get down and put your nose in the carpet and say, Jesus, I need you to talk to me. You can't expect your pastor to put everything inside of you. You got to dig it out for yourself sometimes. And that's what Moses did. He went up right in the middle of it. Well, today, if you want, the Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. And the Holy Ghost is likened to fire all throughout the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about how they went into an upper room on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them, what? Cloven tongues, like as of fire. And I'm sure the second they saw that, they got scared and ran away, right? No! They were excited. They said, this is awesome. The power of God's fallen. And so today, if you want it, I'm telling you, the power of God is going to be poured out in this place. And all you have to do is reach out and get it. But that's scary. Not today. Woohoo. That's scary. I don't want any part of that. I mean, I've heard people have the craziest reasons for not wanting the Holy Ghost because they're embarrassed that people might see them cry. I've seen it. You don't have to cry to get the Holy Ghost, but sometimes it happens. I've seen people, they're too tough. I don't want to cry. What if people think I'm a sissy? That's crazy. Or I've seen people that say, you know what? I want the Holy Ghost, but I don't want to be a spectacle. I don't want people gathered around me praying for me. No, not now, God. I feel you, but not now. We'll do this later. God, we'll be back later. I've heard all kinds of excuses. I've heard people say, well, I just don't think the Holy Ghost is real. So therefore, I'm not even going to try. That's crazy. Try it for yourself and you're going to find out that the Holy Ghost is real. It'll change you. I've seen too many testimonies. I've seen too many lives changed. I've been changed too many times by the power of the Holy Ghost for you to try to tell me that it ain't real. The power of God is real. I've seen people, they come up to the altar and they want the Holy Ghost, but they won't open their mouth to pray. They expect God to pry their mouth open and shove the Holy Ghost inside. That's not the way it works. The Bible says you speak in a language you've never known. But you know what? When you keep your mouth shut and you won't talk and you're saying, I'm just embarrassed. You're putting the lid on it and saying, God, I'm not ready. I don't want it. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to come and live inside of you. I know this isn't new to you. You've heard this your whole life, but the Holy Ghost is for everybody. Acts 2:39 says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So you can say all you want that this isn't for me, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is for every last one of you. Maybe you start to get that stammering lips like the Bible talks about. And maybe the words start to come out a little funny, and all of a sudden you're just like, I'm not used to this, God, I can't do it. And you shut down the fire, and you put it out and say, God, I'm not ready. I've seen too many people find so many excuses, but you can't keep putting it off. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. So you know what? I don't know about you, but I want something I have never had before. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. And today, you know what? Instead of wondering if it's really real, instead of saying, you know what, God, I'm going to come up with every excuse, today I'm going to say, God, it's mine. I'm reaching out and I'm grabbing it, because the Holy Ghost is not scary. The Holy Ghost is nothing to be afraid of. The Holy Ghost is powerful and it's alive and it's incredible. Can anyone say amen? Amen. The Holy Ghost is for you. It's nothing to be afraid of. And if you want it, it's here today. I got two volunteers that were going to help me. Where are they at? Where are they at? Volunteers. No, I have them already pre-picked. There you go. Come on up, guys. They're going to help us out real quick. Let's give them a hand, everybody. All right. We're going to swap these tables out real quick. Very careful. Don't spill it. Pastor will never forgive us. All right. We're going to move this. Guys, we're going to put it right back in that same spot right there. All right. Perfect. Just don't trip over those monitors. They're doing a great job. Look at those guns. These guys are doing a great job. Everybody give them a hand. Fantastic. Good. Perfect. That's excellent. All right. So you guys are willing to help me, right? No matter what? You sure? No matter what? You're not going to back out on me. All right. Cool. Okay. So for no particular reason, can you put those on? For no particular reason, I'm going to need you to roll your sleeves up. For no particular reason. Can you take your suit coat off just for a second, buddy? Okay. For no particular reason, put this over those. Are your parents here? Oh. Okay. It'll be fine, I'm sure. Okay. So I need you, if you could just help me, put those inside of there. Perfect. All the way in. Put them all in. And you, if you could put that in there and make sure it's nice and tight. Don't break the glass, but, you know, make sure it's tight. And put the other end in that bowl right next to you. And now your job, everybody's actually, is to keep an eye on this bowl and let me know when something starts to happen. Can you guys do that? Just keep an eye on it. Let me know if anything begins to happen. Now, we're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've asked if there's any Bible quizzers. I'm going to ask again. Any Bible quizzers ever learn Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Anybody? The Bible says, but ye shall receive what? Power. Can we say that together? But ye shall receive power. When? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, you are going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we talked about how there's a plan. God gave us a way to be saved. Can we say that together? God has made a way for me to be saved. The first thing, see if you're listening. What's the first thing you got to do?
Believe.
Believe, yes, believe. And the second thing is?
Repent.
Third thing is be baptized in Jesus' name. And the fourth thing is be full of the Holy Ghost. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says when that happens, you get full of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? You can be the cool dude at school. You're not the guy that has to hide the fact that he goes to church. Guys, we got the Holy Ghost going on here, so we need your help. Can you help? For no particular reason, can you dip your hands in that? Nope, deeper. All right, and then grab some of those bubbles. perfect, and hold them away from your face for no particular reason. When the Holy Ghost gets inside of you, amazing things start to happen. Woo! Can you help me out? Okay. Oh, come on. Come on. The Holy Ghost is for you too, man. Come on. No, dip your hands in there first. You crazy? All right. All right, scoop it up. Hold it away from your eyes. When the Holy Ghost moves, woo-hoo-hoo! Come on. That's cool, huh? That's pretty awesome. Do it again. The Holy Ghost is full of power. When you repent and you do the things God asked you to do, woo-hoo-hoo! Should I light the whole bowl? That'd be pretty cool. Pick him up. Here we go. That's awesome. When the power of the Holy Ghost begins to move, cool things start to happen. Woo-hoo! All right, let's start putting these in there. Can we put those inside there? And then we're going to put balloons over the top. Perfect. Perfect. Excellent. You guys are doing a great job. Perfect. All right. Put this one over the top. All right, they are doing a fine job. This is their first time ever up here working with this, and we are so thankful for you guys. Great job, great job. Now, Acts chapter 2, we talked about how the day of Pentecost, there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, right? And it says the Holy Ghost fell on them like what? Like fire, right? Like cloven tongues of fire. I wasn't there. I was not there. I don't know what it looked like, but I've seen these little artist renditions of these little candles on somebody's head. I don't think that's how it was. My God's big. My God's real big. And I just have a feeling, I wasn't there, but I have a feeling it might have been something like this. I don't know. I wasn't there. But when the Holy Ghost was poured out, I have a feeling it might have been something like that, because God pours out his Spirit in a mighty way. You guys want to see more of that? Let's do a little bit more. All right, here we go. The Holy Ghost is pretty cool, huh? When it gets poured out, amazing things start to happen. Now, we got to keep our eyes on these. Keep our eyes. The Holy Ghost is getting poured out, and when it happens, it begins to change you. Now, just like this, we got to keep our eyes and make sure that everything is good. Now, it's starting to happen. When Moses went to the top of the mount, nobody could say that he was weak, right? No, he was bad to the bone. Moses was a tough dude. All right. Okay. All right. Hold that. Pinch it. Pinch it tight. Hang on to that. All right. Almost done. All right. So when the Holy Ghost starts to move, you begin to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, these balloons don't look that impressive, do they? Would you say that's an impressive balloon? Nah, pretty sad, huh? Would you say that this is a pretty incredible-looking balloon? Nah, probably not. How about you? Does this one impress you? If you saw someone carrying this around, would you be like, wow, dude, that balloon's amazing? Probably not. But the Holy Ghost has a way of changing you from the inside out. Does anyone remember Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed. Anyone say that with me? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If I'm at school, I'm not going to be ashamed. If I'm around my friends, I'm not going to be ashamed. That means if you got friends that aren't in church, you need to invite them to this because they're looking for this. We think they're not. We think they're out there having the time of their lives where they're looking for answers. They need something. And you are the answer. All of you. If you got the Holy Ghost inside you, you need to share that. You guys ready? You guys going to help me out? Okay, she's going to have you hold that. You're just going to hold it from one side. All right. That's right. Hold it by the very end, and you'll walk backwards. Okay, and you're going to go over the table, all right? Can you guys go right over the table? Now, when the Holy Ghost goes inside of you, it changes you. Moses was not a sissy, right? Would you be called a sissy if you stood up to the most powerful man in the world and told him what God told you to say? No. No, he was a tough guy. I don't care how young you are or how big you are or how old you are. When God is in you, you can do anything. There's no mountain too big. Hold up a little bit higher and pull it tight. Pull it tight. Let's see what happens when you get the Holy Ghost inside of you. Let's see how it changes. Is this going to be just this, another little wimpy balloon? Or is this going to be something special? Oh, we got to keep it still as we can. Oh, that one's pretty bad. We're going to try this one. Hold it tight. We got too much AC up here. We're going to work through it. Woo! I think I lost my eyebrows. It's okay. When the Holy Ghost begins to move inside of you, amazing things begin to take place. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't teach a Bible study. I'm too young. I've heard people say that. I can't teach a Bible study. Well, we have a 13-year-old in our church. She's teaching 20 people at her school a Bible study, a 13-year-old. We have another boy that prayed his friend through who had never been to church through to the Holy Ghost at the park one day. Because God can use you. It doesn't matter. We have a 12-year-old boy. He's on bus ministry. And he just invited a lady. She came and got the Holy Ghost. He invited somebody else and they got baptized in Jesus' name. Because God can use you. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It only matters what God sees in you. Thank you guys so much for your help. Let's give these guys a big hand. Great job. Great job. You don't have to be intimidated. The world has got nothing on you. Sin entered this world a long time ago, but God made a way for me to be saved. We have to believe. We got to repent of our sins. We got to be baptized in Jesus' name, get full of the Holy Ghost, right? And then we got to use the Holy Ghost that's inside of us. And I'm telling you, wherever you're at on this journey today, there is an answer for you right now. Wherever you're at, if you want another touch of the Holy Ghost, maybe you received the Holy Ghost, but it's been a while since you spoke in tongues. You can get a refilling where you're at right now. If you've never received the Holy Ghost before, today you can just say, you know what? I'm putting all those excuses aside. I'm not putting the lid on that fire today. I'm opening it up and saying, Jesus, I believe you, and I'm reaching for it with both hands, saying, God, I want the Holy Ghost. By the way, don't try that at home. I don't have to say that, right? Don't grab fire at home. All right, don't do that. But whatever you need, you can get it. If you need healing in your body, my God is still a healer. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. I don't care what the world is saying right now. Jesus is still a healer. That you can have peace in your home. I don't care if there's fighting going on in your home or if you have friends or you have family that are out of sorts. Maybe you've had someone walk away on you. I don't know your situation. Maybe you've had someone walk out that you love. Jesus is still the answer. And I'm telling you, you can never wait too long. You can never wait. You need to make your decision today. You can't wait another day. I'm going to tell you a quick story and we're done. We've gone longer than I anticipated already. But just over a year ago, my daughter, who is now 13 years of age, she was 12 at the time, we had a bus ministry and we were out picking up kids. She was on that bus inviting people, bringing them to church. She was crossing a street and there was a drunk driver, 4 times the legal limit, who ran a stop sign and hit her with a Jeep Cherokee head on. 12-year-old girl. Her whole life in front of her. Nothing's going to happen. I don't have to make any decisions now, right? I have my whole life ahead of me. I still have time to do what I want to do, and then later I'll do what God wants me to do. I'm not trying to scare anybody today. I'm just going to tell you what happened, okay? This little girl was knocked 93 feet through the air. She landed on the asphalt. When I tell you all the, I'm not even going to go through everything. It was bad. Her back was broken, her neck was broken, her skull was cracked open, her brain was exposed. It was a bad situation, a bad situation. And I'm telling you, I would like to say that we toughed it out, and we knew that it was all, you know, all going to be okay. We didn't know it was going to be okay. We knew that God had it in control. We knew that we could trust him. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what was going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing, and I need everybody to listen right now. There was only one thing that kept this dad sane, that kept me holding it together. And that was the fact that just a few days before, I had seen my little girl at an altar. She was lifting her hands and praising God and getting refilled with the Holy Ghost all over again. And I knew whatever happens, it's okay. God had it all in control. Now, the end of the story is beautiful. 12 days later, the doctors still call her the miracle girl because Jesus raised her up. And 12 days after they thought it was over for that little girl, she came out of that hospital and they let her go. And they still can't figure out exactly how it all happened, but God did it. But if he hadn't, she was saved. If it hadn't, she would be with Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's no comfort like that in the world. If you're scared about what's going on out there, get yourself ready, because Jesus is the answer for everything. If you could all stand with me real quick, if we could have somebody come to the instruments, and they're just going to play a song. I don't know how you do altar calls, so I'm not going to change anything. Stay where you're at unless you're told to do otherwise, all right? But we're just going to have you pray where you're at. I'm telling you, God can do something for you right now. Don't wait another moment. Don't put that lid back on that fire. Don't try to put it out. Don't say, God, I'm going to wait till tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you don't know how many tomorrows you have left. I know we've been talking to kids today, but if there's a mom or dad that you're feeling something in your heart, a tug, maybe you're a visitor here. I don't know who you are. But if you're feeling something and you know that God is calling me right now, I'm asking you, as they begin to play and sing, that you lift your hands wherever you're at and just call on his name. Repent if that's what you need to do right now, and just say, Jesus, I'm sorry, God, for the things I've done. You know what? Let's do that together. Can we as a congregation just say, Jesus, forgive me. God, you see my heart. God, you see the things that I've done, whether they're big, whether they're small, whether I even know that they're there or not. God, I don't care. God, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. And if you mean it, he has already done it. It really is that easy. Maybe you have more that you want to pray about. I'm telling you, you can, with all kinds of stories, my dad repented for over an hour when he came to God. It's not because he had to, it's because he felt like he just had to get it all out. But God forgave him the first time he said, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And whatever you need, he's here. They're going to begin to sing right now. And as we do, let's lift our hands all across this place. Your answers are here. Whatever it is, it's here right now. Parents, I'm asking you, you're the altar workers today. Parents, pray with your kids. Come on, moms and dads. You're the altar workers. Wrap your arms around them and say, Jesus, I don't want to wait another day. I want to see it happen. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we love you. 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 Oh, God, we praise you. Come on, don't stop. I know it's a different service, but he's the same God. Let's lift our hands and begin to worship him. I love you, God. Oh, God. God, whatever you need, he's here. Come on, he's sweeping across this place right now. Don't miss out. Come on, don't say this is just for the kids. It's for you too. Come on, God, I love you. I love you, God. Open your mouth and begin to worship him. I love you, God. I love you, God. Let's not check out too soon. Come on. There's a power of God in this place. If you need an answer, it's here. Come on. Let's dig in for just a moment. God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I love you. You today, God, I'm not leaving until I have my answer, God. I'm not leaving until my need is met, God. I've got to have it, God. I've got to have it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!